KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:02, we have partly cloudy skies, 36 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Iowa Western Community College has announced that a ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held this morning for their new design technology program. The ceremony takes place at 10 o'clock at Iowa Western's Cass County Center in Atlantic. Center Director Ann Prost said everyone is invited to attend the event. In mid-April, officials with the Southwest Iowa Foundation announced the Atlantic Center of Iowa Western Community College had received a $150,000 grant for the new design technology program, which began at the start of the 2011-2012 school year. The City of Atlantic and Cass County Board of Supervisors had previously pledged $100,000 each to assist with the infrastructure necessary to make the program possible. Students enrolled in the program will learn to build 3D virtual products using specialized software developed by Plano, Texas-based Siemens Product Lifestyle Management. The PLM software will introduce students to product design and development technology that's used by many of the world's leading manufacturing, architectural, and construction companies. The classroom and hands-on experience will allow students to develop technical drawings and plans to build everything from microchips to skyscrapers. Among the dignitaries expected to be on hand for today's ceremony are Iowa Western President Dr. Dan Kinney, lead volunteer Jay Miller, and design technology program instructor Joe Vanstrom. News time is 8:04.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Many of Iowa's top players in the wind energy industry from around the world are gathered in Iowa this week. Harold Pryor, executive director of the Iowa Wind Energy Association, says Des Moines was selected as the site for the industry's largest conference because Iowa recently became the first state to generate at least 20% of its electricity from wind power.
The American Wind Energy Association really wants to showcase Iowa's success, and Iowa's an example of what the nation would look like in terms of job creation and enhanced economic development potential if we can actually get the entire nation to 20% of our electric generation portfolio coming from the wind energy industry.
Iowa currently has more than 2,500 wind turbines creating over 4,000 megawatts of electricity. Projects that are underway are expected to boost that energy output to 5,000 megawatts by the end of 2012. In December of 2010, MidAmerican Energy announced a 593.4 megawatt expansion that includes 193 2.3 megawatt turbines, which are currently being erected in east and southeastern Cass, northeastern Adams, and southwestern Adair counties as part of the Rolling Hills Wind Project, which is expected to be finished by the end of this year. Those turbines will produce enough energy to power 190,000 homes. The project is one of MidAmerican's largest and likely one of the largest in the country. Pryor says one of the biggest challenges facing the wind industry involves transmitting the energy from where it's generated to where it can be used.
The transmission grid in the United States as a whole has not seen really significant upgrades in 50 years. And whether it was the growth of wind energy industry or just the growth in overall demand for electricity eventually because of the increasing population, we're going to have to modernize the electrical transmission grid one way or another.
You know, several large transmission projects are already planned or are under construction. Another critical issue to continued growth, according to Pryor, is the extension of a federal production tax credit for the wind energy industry. The credit is set to expire in December of 2012. Pryor says all forms of energy production are given tax credits, but some industries enjoy better terms.
The advantage that the older carbon-based forms of generation have is that they're subsidized through the tax code, and their subsidies don't come up for consideration and renewal because they're in the tax code, have been in the tax code in some cases for 90 years.
The American Wind Energy Association reports the industry is on track to reach a goal of 20% of the country's electricity coming from wind by the year 2030. In order to reach that goal, the industry will need to install an additional 60,000 wind turbines over the next 18 years. A recently released survey of Iowa land trends and values shows a statewide increase in cropland values of nearly 13% over the past 6 months. The survey by the Iowa Farm and Land Chapter No. 2 of the Realtors Land Institute shows a 12.9% increase in cropland values from March 2011 through September 1st. The estimates are for bare, unimproved land with a sale price on a cash basis. Pasture and timberland values were requested from participants in the survey as supplemental information. Here in southwest Iowa, the value of high-quality cropland increased $634 per acre over the past 6 months to $7,555. Medium-quality cropland increased $531 to $5,837 per acre. And even low-quality cropland increased more than $315 per acre to $4,116. On average, land values in southwest Iowa were up 9.3%. In west central Iowa, high-quality cropland was valued at $9,085 per acre, which is an increase of nearly $1,050 over the past 6 months. Medium-quality cropland was valued at $7,275, which was a slightly more than $850 increase. Low-quality cropland in west central Iowa saw the least amount of increase per acre at $316, averaging out to $5,260. And on average, the west central part of the state realized a 12% gain in tillable cropland values from March through September. In fact, all nine crop reporting districts in the state showed an increase in land values ranging from 8.5% in southeast Iowa to as much as 17% in northeast Iowa from March 2011 to September of this year. The Realtors Land Institute said factors contributing to the increase in farmland values included strong commodity prices, favorable long-term interest rates, and a limited amount of land being offered for sale. For more information on that, you can log on to www.rlifarmandranch.com. There's a link to that on our website under the News tab. Sustainable agriculture practices often face an uphill battle. The Center for Rural Affairs, along with the Iowa Farmers Union, surveyed bankers, insurers, and producers on the question of discrimination against those who try sustainable operations. Tracy Bruckner with the Center for Rural Affairs authored a report on the survey, and she said there are some real disparities.
Our study found that there is certainly a gap in the knowledge level amongst bankers, lenders, and crop insurance agents on their awareness and their knowledge level regarding sustainable agriculture.
Bruckner says one thing that can alter perceptions is to change the language in the 2012 Farm Bill, which currently puts sustainable agriculture producers at a disadvantage. One example is the requirement of a surcharge for crop insurance.
If you're an organic farmer, you pay a 5% premium surcharge just for being an organic producer because they see you as riskier.
She says lenders are most concerned with the profitability and cash flow of the farming operations, and the survey found that more education is needed for bankers to show them that sustainable agriculture markets are profitable. Bruckner says lenders need to know there are programs for organic farming that help to ensure profitability. And before anyone else can hunt deer in Iowa, hunters with disabilities will get an opportunity to hunt beginning Saturday for a season that lasts 2 weeks. State deer biologist Tom Litchfield said the reason for the special hunting season is that this time of year is mainly better weather.
A season at this time is a much better time for those people to get out if they're able to get out on their own, or for someone to go out with them as far as getting around on the landscape.
Litchfield said hunters with disabilities have a 37% hunting success rate, which is almost the same as hunters during the regular deer hunting season. He says a special hunting license is needed, and depending on the disability, some are allowed to shoot from a vehicle or perhaps only need help in recovering the game.
Can range from an individual that needs quite a bit of assistance as far as getting around, handling the equipment, retrieving the deer, to individuals that are in need of less assistance.
He says unlike the regular hunting season, hunters with disabilities can use whatever weapon they like, from bow and arrow to shotgun to muzzle loader. Last year, just over 200 special hunting licenses were issued. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Charlene Dorsher, age 81, of Atlantic and formerly of the Lewis and Oakland areas, died September the 8th. Funeral services for Charlene Dorsher will be today at 10:30 at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. Ethel Rowetter, age 90, of Irvine, California, and formerly of Westside, died September 7th. Funeral services for Ethel Rowetter will be today at 11 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Joyce E. Riggs, age 85, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Joyce Riggs will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Cumberland. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Lenora Woolenhouse, age 83, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Lenora Woolenhouse will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Calvin E. Campbell, age 90, of Richfield, Minnesota, and formerly of Audubon, died Saturday. Funeral services for Calvin Campbell will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Assembly of God Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Virginia Spiker, age 97, of Atlantic, died Monday. A memorial service for Virginia Spiker will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. And Margaret Jensen, age 87, of Atlantic, died Monday. Private family graveside services for Margaret Jensen will be held in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is assisting the family with the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.